Welcome to this week's belated edition of the Black Cat Podcast. Thanks as always for checking out the show, guys. And apologies that this one's out a little later than usual. It was with the best of intentions, though. I was expecting that by now Ivan Cleary would have put out his team for the trial in New Zealand this weekend, and he obviously hasn't done that. But he's a mysterious guy by nature, and it probably should be no surprise that we were once again the last team to release our team list going into the week one, I guess, official trial round for the 2015 season. So I'll get a little more into the trial game a bit later in the show, but for now we can talk about the new naming rights sponsor of Penrith Park. That's right, Penrith Park is now Pepper Stadium after what I believe is the third straight year that the club has changed its naming rights for the stadium. We will now be Pepper Stadium as opposed to Sporting Bet, Centre Bet the year before that, and I guess might have even been CUA the year before that. I honestly can't even keep track of it anymore, but we do have a new naming rights sponsor, and I don't want to get too far into it because at the end of the day, who really cares? A lot's being made of this online, a lot of articles being written. I saw some ridiculous article on Fox Sports about how the Panthers, I think the headline of the article was something along the lines of Pepper Stadium, the latest in a long history of Panthers having crap names for their stadium, whatever. And yeah, it probably doesn't roll off the tongue as well as some other stadiums do, but at the end of the day, it's a corporate sponsorship. As long as they're keeping the lights on and paying the bills, that's really all that it's there for. We'll still know it as Penrith Park, and that's really all that matters. We know where it is. We know exactly what the history is behind the stadium, and if you change the naming rights every year, it really doesn't impact the way that locals will look at the stadium. And at the end of the day, it's our home, and I don't care if they call it freaking I don't care what they call it, to be honest. It's Penrith Park to me, and people can make as much fuss about what we're going to call the stadium and whether or not it sounds pleasing to the ears, it rolls off the tongue well, it is an intimidating fortress of a name that people can think, oh crap, we've got to go play at Pepper Stadium. Like, who really cares? Like, it's the end of the day, it's Penrith Park. It's our home ground. And yeah, I'm sure once Penrith are playing there and they're winning games, no one's going to be talking about the name of our stadium. And I actually think the Pepper logo is pretty cool, so maybe that'll look quite sweet on the front of the stadium. But yeah, it's a corporate sponsorship, so I don't think there's really too much to talk about there. Something that definitely is worth talking about is the latest rumours. This is actually probably our first rumour of the year, and the first rumour I've got to talk about on the Black Cat Podcast, which I'm really excited about because rumours are half the fun of covering sport, and we now have a pretty juicy one in that Trent Merrin is now rumoured to be considering Panthers as one of the front runners to sign him at a contract in the ballpark of $800,000 per season, which is a very aggressive move from Penrith. And it does sound like, based off the very vague sort of media comments that guys like Ivan Cleary and even Jamie Soward are sort of giving away in press conferences at the moment, it does sound like there is some legs to this rumour and that Penrith really are pursuing Trent Merrin and see him as someone that would really move the needle for the club. But yeah, it's an aggressive move, and I'm still coming to terms with whether or not I like it because, as I'm sure you all know, Penrith have some pretty exciting young crops coming through in the back row, in the second row, lock. All those positions are pretty well covered, and to be paying a guy $800,000, which I would presume is probably going to be probably the top paid player in the club, it's a huge move to make when you've got a lot of young guys coming through at the position that would obviously be playing it for a lot less money. But even the Jamie Soward signing at the time seemed a little bit ridiculous, and I don't think there's anyone that's doubting now that there was a bit of a masterstroke by Phil Gould and Ivan Cleary at the time. So long as Trent Merrin's interest in playing for the club is legit, I'll be cautiously optimistic that this is actually a move that would really help the team if it does come to fruition. But I guess the other question in regards to Trent Merrin signing with the club is how the rest of the team will react, how such a tight-knit group of players would respond to the type of, I guess, roster turnover that would be required for a signing like Trent Merrin to to take place, because yeah, $800,000 is a pretty decent chunk of change, and when you consider that Penrith, I'm sure, are right up there with the salary cap at the moment after the off-season we had 2 years ago and the players we've been extending recently, you would have to expect that quite a lot of the Panthers players that are sort of coming off contract would sort of be let to, yeah, just sort of walk away. And guys like Louis Brown, who I've talked about earlier on the show, Sikamanu, who does seem to have pretty much completely fallen out of favour with the first grade team, and even someone like Adam Docker, you would think those three guys would possibly all have to walk for this move to make any sense financially, and for even from a I guess playing time perspective, you need to actually have the minutes for a guy like Trent Merrin, who probably is going to most of the time be playing a full 80 minutes every week. So that will be something to look out for. If I had to bet on, I guess, which of these guys are going to be most likely to sort of leave to open up the space for Trent Merrin, I'd say that the two most likely players are Sikamanu and Louis Brown. I did a little bit of research before just to sort of get an idea of what Sikamanu would be getting paid, and his official, I guess, salary information was not released by the club, but from what I could see online, it looks like Penrith would have had to have paid him in the ballpark of probably $350,000 and maybe even $400,000 a year to sign him at the time. And it might have been like a $300,000 a year deal at the start that might have ballooned out to around $400,000 in the last year of its deal. But I would imagine that he is in the $300,000 to $400,000 range. And then you consider Louis Brown, who was another player that wouldn't have been cheap to acquire and is probably in the sort of $150,000 to $200,000 range maximum. You're clearing up sort of $600,000 space, but more likely closer to five. And there's still $300,000 that are going to come out somewhere to make room for such a big signing. And I guess a guy like Adam Docker might be that extra bit of compensation that the Dragons might require to make this deal feasible from a financial standpoint. And yeah, I'd say of the four guys we've got coming off contract that you would say would even be possible to be thrown in this deal, they would be Sikamanu, Lewis Brown, Adam Docker, and Tyrone Peachy. And Peachy of those four guys is the one that I'm pretty certain is going to be around for a while, just because we bought him at a fairly low price with, I guess, the long-term plan that we were going to develop him. And that's what the club seems to be doing, and doing quite well, because he had a really great year for the Panthers, and he seemed to actually show the value that Phil Gould had sort of heralded when he signed Peach, saying that he was going to be able to give us cover at multiple positions, and whether he came off the bench or started, he was going to be able to make an impact. And once he started seeing some regular minutes, that really became quite apparent that he was going to be a regular impact player for the Panthers. And I'd say that the chances of Peachy going are very, very slim, which means you got to make way for Trent Merrin using other players. And the fourth guy that I would consider being, I guess, a possible option to be letting go would be Jeremy Lattimore, who, again, had a bit of a breakthrough season for the Panthers last year, and I would say is probably due for a decent pay rise next year if he is off contract next year. And another guy would be Sam Anderson. So there are plenty of guys that we will be sort of hearing rumours throughout the season that they'll be in talks with other clubs, just because if the Panthers are serious about making a move for Merrin, it's going to require some pretty serious roster turnover, and it's also going to require a lot of faith in the juniors we have coming through, like Bryce Cartwright and Tyrone Peachy, Isaiah Yeo. All these guys are going to have to really start to prove that they're reliable first grade players immediately, because this team is pretty much built to be winning right now. We're in win now mode, so there's no point in making moves for 3 years down the track. This Trent Merrin acquisition to me says one thing, and that is that Penrith are determined to be winning a premiership in the next, yeah, in the next 2 to 3 years. So all these moves that we are making have to be moves that, I guess, result in a better product on the field pretty well straight away. And yeah, I'll be real interested to see how that all works out as the season draws on and we start to actually hear a little more about this and see where this rumor goes. But it's sounding promising for Penrith at the moment, and I'll be cautiously optimistic that this is a move that the Panthers can get done. And Trent Merrin, obviously, probably a top five player at his position, and yeah, whenever you can get a guy of that sort of caliber, that's definitely nothing to take lightly. It's a massive deal, and pretty much every club out there would want a guy like Trent Merrin on their team, and if we can make that happen, I'll be pretty pumped. So this weekend the Panthers are going to be playing live on Fox Sports against the Warriors at 1 o'clock, and that's awesome. Live footy on Fox Sports, 1 o'clock. First grade Panthers, real deal football. How exciting is that? And yeah, so the team hasn't actually been finalized yet or even released. So I was looking online before, and we're pretty much the only team left that hasn't actually named a squad for the weekend. And it's pretty typical of Ivan. He's such a play his cards close to the chest type of guy. And I think I like it. I think I like the mystery surrounding Ivan Cleary and the Panthers. And yeah, it's cool to sort of keep guys on their toes while you can. And as the season draws on, obviously we'll know that team lists are going to be out every Tuesday, and it'll make it way easier for me to I guess, talk about the games on the weekend and know that every Tuesday I'm going to get that team list out, so I can start reporting on the game a week in advance sort of thing, rather than sort of be waiting all week to see what's happening. But for the moment, what we do know is that there's going to be some big names in the team on the weekend and some guys we've been really looking forward to see back on the field. And those two guys that I would say are probably most crucial for the Panthers on the weekend are Jamie Soward and Bryce Cartwright. So that alone should be a good enough reason for the Panthers fans to all be tuning into Fox Sports on the weekend to watch the boys head over to New Zealand. And yeah, I think seeing how Bryce Cartwright's looking after what was a pretty rugged first year in first grade, obviously coming in looking really good and then just breaking his ankle and just destroying the momentum for the Panthers as we were trying to get some sort of roll going with, yeah, some health and some of these young players coming through, and it just seemed like it just wasn't meant to be last year with all those injuries. But yeah, anyway, Bryce Cartwright is back. That is worth the entry price alone, I'd say. He's a what we think may be a once-in-a-generation type player, and it'll be great to see him back on the first grade team. And yeah, I can't wait to see Bryce back in action. Hopefully he won't have too many cobwebs, but if he does, it's a trial game, and it's what these games are for, I guess. And then the other thing will be the return of Jamie Soward, who had an ankle clean-out sort of surgery in the off-season and has sort of kept him off his feet for a while, but he's back with a beautiful moustache, and it looks like that beautiful moustache is actually here to stay for a while as well. I saw some photos online of Sowie teasing the media a little bit during their sort of, I guess you'd call them, media video sessions, where they're basically preparing all the video clips for next season on the big screen, and Sowie looking like he's having a lot of fun with that moustache. And if he's doing it for media day, something tells me that he might be sporting this look for a little longer than just the preseason. And this weekend will be the debut for Jamie Soward's new brand spanking moustache. And if you can't tune in to watch Jamie Soward play football with a moustache, what can you tune in for? Yeah, so I'm going to continue with our NRL season preview series that we've been doing all off season. And today we have two of the serious heavyweights and two teams that I think we could be talking about right now as the 2015 NRL grand finalists. That's how good I think these two teams are going to be this year. Obviously, it's the year of the goat, so that might change some plans a little bit. But yeah, I think this first team that I'm going to talk about is the Brisbane Broncos. Sportsbet's over-under is set at 14.5 wins, which is basically in the ballpark of 34 competition points, and usually good enough for, at the very least, a top five spot. Probably a top four spot, though. Penrith had 34 last year and did manage a top four spot, so that's where Sportsbet have got the Broncos pegged. And they do, having said that, have one of the toughest schedules in the NRL this season, and that may be why their over-under is only at 34 points for their competition. Yeah, their competition points for the season. And the acquisitions they've made, when you start at the top, they've obviously got Wayne Bennett returning, which is, yeah, which is massive. And of course, whenever you get Wayne Bennett, you also get a small army of additional talent that comes along with him. You get your Darius Boyd, you get Adam Blair's coming through as well, Travis Waddell, Anthony Milford. Like, yeah, whenever Wayne Bennett signs somewhere, it seems like players are just jumping at the opportunity to go join him. And that's what's happened for the Broncos this year. And they are a scary looking team. They are a seriously not fun looking team on paper. Obviously, Darius Boyd injured his Achilles during the early off-season training and will miss a heap of games, possibly even the entire season, which is a bummer for them. But yeah, having let Ben Barber and Josh Hoffman go, assuming that they had sort of Milford and Darius Boyd there to cover the fullback position, to only then, yeah, lose Darius Boyd for a significant chunk of the season, it has to hurt for the Broncos. But I guess that's the risk you take whenever you spend a lot of money on star players. But yeah, Anthony Milford is an absolute freak of nature. He's a scary guy. He's got, yeah, crazy footwork. Awesome. Yeah, he's a freak of a player. He's got pretty much everything you'd need from an attacking point of view. He's a little small, but they play him in the halves. They'll be able to hide him out on the wing and he won't have any dramas at all. And then you also consider their pretty ginormous forward pack with like guys like Thaiday, Blair, Gillett, and then Josh Maguire, who really came on last season and could take his game to the next level on a competitive standpoint next season and actually be playing in some really meaningful games. And yeah, he'd be one of the guys that I would say you'd probably peg him as probably one of the best up-and-coming front rowers in the league. And yeah, and then you move on to their halfback, Ben Hunt, who very well could be in a few years' time, one of the best players in the game. And he's actually my pick for Dally and Player of the Year. I think he's in a position where it'll be really hard for him to fail, just with the amount of talent he has around him. They've got some excellent outside backs, the talented but also veteran forward pack that he has, which will really sort of help him in leading the team around the field and make his job a lot easier, having guys like Thaiday and Gillett and, yeah, all these sorts of guys that you just know are going to be reliable in the big games and should only make Ben Hunt's job easier. And Ben Hunt is no slouch of a player. He's got one of the most dangerous running games for a halfback. The way he can sort of dummy the ball and make runs, like, he's just as dangerous to score as anyone. And sort of like Mitchell Pearce, the way he can sort of suddenly establish a bit of a running game and suddenly there's this extra dimension to his game that you can't stop if everything's firing. And Ben Hunt to me seems to have that with the addition of a little bit more pace and he's younger as well. So yeah, he's a scary looking player and I think it's a big year ahead for the Broncos. And the next team we've got is the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. I'll pause for a moment so you guys can all boo. Okay. So the sports bet over-under is set at 15.5 wins for the Bulldogs this season, which translates to around 36 competition points and a pretty clear top four spot. We're only going to face the Dogs. Actually, sorry, it's twice this season we're facing the Dogs. Just looking at the schedule here, we've got them around 1 and then again at round 15. So as I'm sure you remember, last season we won both games during the regular competition against the Bulldogs, and then when it all mattered, we crapped the bed and went home sad and angry and watched the Bulldogs get their butts kicked in the grand final. But this year, their biggest recruit, obviously Josh Morris. Michael Licker? Never been quite sure how to pronounce that name. It's a real bugger to see on a piece of paper. But yeah, he'll obviously pick up where sort of Michael Ennis left off in the number 9 jersey for the Bulldogs, and a really sort of promising up-and-coming talent for the Bulldogs, and someone that I don't really understand why the Sharks would let go when they're in the position they're in. They basically clean house, bring in old guys when they're not winning in the first place, and give away young players like Tyrone Peachy, Tupou Sapawanga, like guys like that Penrith are getting, while we're basically giving them all our old guys that we are paying too much money to and don't really want on the team anymore. So they've continued that with the Bulldogs by giving away one of their young up-and-coming prospects and taking back Michael Ennis, who's probably in the last couple of years of his career and already looks quite comfy in the Fox Sports studios, doing all the pre-game stuff for the Saturday afternoon footy and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, some strange stuff going on with the Sharks, but I'm quite happy that we've been taking advantage of it, and it looks like the Bulldogs have done the same thing here. So, yeah, other departures for the Bulldogs, I'd say Mitch Brown, probably, I guess, Lachlan Bird, Dale Finucane, Kristen Inu, Rennie Matua, like some decent names on that list, but none that will really leave any serious holes in the roster aside from, I guess, Ennis's leadership. But you say you take some of those pretty mediocre sort of wingers off, and then you put one of the best players in the game in Brett Morris onto the team, and the sky's the limit for the Bulldogs this year. And I think, obviously, the best forward pack in the game, the New South Wales State of Origin halves pairing, and then these dangerous outside backs like the Morris twins. And yeah, that's another scary looking team on paper. And it's funny how we've gone from, basically last week I was previewing the 9th and 10th ranked teams from last season and what their prospects were like for the upcoming year, and they seemed somewhat grim. But then a week later, we look at teams 7 and 8, and they've probably made the two biggest jumps of any teams in the competition, and they look like they're going to be real heavyweights going into 2015. And yeah, I'm not looking forward to playing either of these teams. And just jumping back to the Broncos real quickly, because I actually didn't mention this when talking about them, but we'll be playing them just the once this season, and it's round 9 at Suncorp, which will be the weekend following Origin 1, which is a nice little bonus, I guess, because Brisbane's often a team that gets pretty gutted during the Origin rounds, and this year may not be so much the case, as maybe not even as much of a case for the Broncos as it might be for the Panthers with some of the young guys we've got coming through, and guys like Matty Moylan, Josh Mansour are going to probably get some pretty serious Origin consideration, and maybe even Jamie Soward. But yeah, you'd like to think that playing the Broncos during one of those survivor rounds is probably a better time to play them than during the regular season where they're at full strength. So another little scheduling win, I guess you'd say, for the Broncos, possibly not having to see Ben Hunt this season, something we can all be somewhat pleased with. And yeah, unless of course we have to play him in the finals. But yeah, just jumping back to the Bulldogs real quickly, because I just wanted to make sure I did cover when we would be playing these teams, and that was a big part of what we were doing on the preview series. Yeah, getting back to the Bulldogs, I think, yeah, they're another team that I think, having made that grand final series last year, it seems like every year there's a team that sort of gets to the big dance but then can't quite compete on that level with what last year was the Souths team that were just ridiculous. And yeah, they had a ridiculous game in that grand final, but I think the Bulldogs will have learned a lot from that game. I think James Graham will come into this season extremely hungry. And yeah, I'm thinking that the Bulldogs are probably the most likely team to take out the minor premiership. But from there, it's up to those halves. It's up to James Graham to keep up his form. And yeah, I guess health is the main issue for them, because if they're a healthy team come September, they're a team that I'm not going to be looking forward to playing at all. And yeah, that pretty much is all I have to say about the Bulldogs. But yeah, I can't stress enough that the Bulldogs and Broncos are going to be two really tough teams this season, and two teams I was looking forward to previewing this year, because I think that they're both in for big seasons. And I think, yeah, there's going to be quite a lot of interesting stuff happen with these two teams this year. So that will pretty much do me for this week's episode of the show, guys. Thanks again for checking it out. Any questions or thoughts, anything like that you want to make sure is mentioned on the show, don't forget to tweet me using the hashtag BlackCatPod. I am at BlackCatReport on Twitter, and we've also got the website blackcatreport.com. I'll be firing out some new articles on there pretty soon, so if you like to read your Panthers thoughts and opinions as well as listen to them, don't forget to check out blackcatreport.com. And yeah, don't forget to check out the Panthers game on Fox Sports this weekend. It'll be a cracker, hopefully. I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, thanks for checking out the show, guys. And as always, go the mighty Panthers. Finals race. The first up tackle hurts you, and tomorrow you'll be sore. But the only thing that's
on your mind.